Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. So there's not much to say other than Victoria F. is a complete monster.
Dang.
She's such a monster that I'm sort of like, do we even want to give her the satisfaction of talking about her on the podcast? I mean, it's so far and away monster. I sort of feel like maybe 100% of all Bachelor Nation is in agreement on that.
Really?
Ezer, I know you have a pretty big teardown on it, so I'll hand it over to you. There was some good Iowa representation in the great city of Cleveland, which, Caitlin, you defended last podcast episode.
Yeah, and I feel like Cleveland got so much airtime on this episode in terms of people just like wandering down the streets and being like, wow, Cleveland is beautiful. Look at that Cleveland skyline. Yeah. I love the romance here in Cleveland.
It was one of two things. Either A, Cleveland paid extra to make sure everyone said Cleveland all the time. Or B, people were so astonished with how nice Cleveland was that they were actually saying all those things sincerely.
Definitely A.
I
don't want to
like
be a city snob.
Right?
I know, Caitlin, you said that last time. You know, I don't want to be a city snob or anything, but you know that. I mean, I wanted this episode to be called, like, Selling Cleveland, like a, you know, HGTV show, because I could have made a giant supercut a la Richmond, Virginia style of, remember when they went to Richmond, Virginia for Becca Kufrin season?
They went to Fort Lauderdale last year.
Right. Yeah. And it was so much like, they really had to sell, when they went to Rhode Island, they really had to sell you on it.
Right.
And we're like, look, you're there, it's fine. Like, no matter where you go.
Man, these are all places that I really like, actually.
Exactly.
I love Rhode Island. I have a Rhode Island-themed tattoo. I'm not even from there.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
So it is, like, the short version is that I lived in Boston for a few years, and I used to go down to Providence a lot. One of my good friends grew up in Providence and then moved back there when I was in Boston. So I would go down to see her all the time. It's like only an hour-ish on the commuter rail. They're very close. And I would hear all these stories, like Rhode Island legends, Providence stories. It's a wild place. And one of my favorite ones was this story about the guy who founded Rhode Island, Roger Williams, right? Essentially, he was kicked out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony for being like too religiously free. He's that guy, right? So then he went down to Rhode Island because he couldn't live in Massachusetts anymore and started what is now, you know, Rhode Island and Providence.
Yeah.
And there's this legend that when he died, you know, he's buried in his backyard underneath his favorite apple tree. And roughly 200 years later, the city of Providence wants to dig up his body because they wanted to put it underneath a big statue that they were building of him. So they wanted to move it from like this private property to this public place. And they go and dig and they find what they assume is his body. But what it is a tree root shaped like a person.
Whoa.
And that tree root is in the Rhode Island Historical Society's collections as like, this is possibly what Roger Williams turned into. Maybe he turned into a tree. We don't know. And I loved this idea of like people being like, yeah, he definitely turned into a tree. Like that happened for sure. So I have a tattoo on my arm that is a skeleton turning into an apple tree.
Oh, I've seen that tattoo.
Yes, it's a Roger Williams inspired tattoo.
Wow. That's some deep Rhode Island knowledge right there that you only get on the Bachelor Masters podcast.
We could have used her last year when we were like Rhode Island. Well, you were excited about Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. My take on it is, you know, when you're in Boston, Caitlin, and everything is historical, right? Like, here's where John Hancock spit on the ground. You know, there's a plaque or something. You go down to Providence, it's not like that at all. It's almost like the revolution never happened. And I asked around. Apparently, it's because their religious convictions, they were pacifists, so they really wanted nothing to do with the revolution. Like, they weren't against it, mm-hmm. but they weren't for it. So there was really zero revolutionary activity there. So that's why there's not, like, plaques everywhere.
Yeah, it's, like, a very, for such a tiny place, it has a lot of, like, really distinct cultural features. like, the New England Mafia is based out of Providence and not out of Boston.
Oh, really? In The Departed, they say, they talk about, they're coming up from Rhode Island.
Yes, and so the same friend I was talking about who grew up in Providence, her ex-boyfriend, his stepfather was this guy that everyone just referred to as the big guy. and he was, like, definitely mafia adjacent, if not, like, in it. And I remember this one time he was considering buying this, you know, the, like, I guess, fast casual chain, the Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, yeah.
So he was going to buy, like, a location that had been a Spaghetti Factory, but they had closed down. The big guy wanted to buy that so he could open up Rhode Island's first all-male review. So, like, a male strip club, right?
I'm into that. I support that.
And he was asking, like, his stepson's friends ideas for what he should name this all-male review. And I was like, I still feel like this is one of the best jokes I've ever come up with in my life. I was like, you still should just call it the Spaghetti Factory. And, like, it works.
It I like that. Is it exist now?
No, I guess, like, the deal didn't go through or something. I'm not sure what happened, right. But he didn't.
You probably need, like, permits or something to create a strip club, I would imagine.
So yeah, I would hear all these, like, crazy Rhode Island stories about, like, mafia connections and corruption in the police and how their mayor went to jail and then he became the mayor again afterwards.
Oh boy, wow, this is fascinating. So to get back, I guess, to the show, which is what we do a podcast about. So to get back to The Bachelor, I guess, Ezer, before we hand it over to you, should I just do a quick Victoria F. rundown of how awful she is, or do our...
Oh, no, I want to ask you things that I need you to interject at some point, because I just have I have two sides, you know. I think Caitlin feels like I do, except for what we know from you, unless, Caitlin, you've looked it up on your own, which I don't think you have, because we're kind of middle ground on this.
No, I Googled who Chase Rice was, because I was like, who is this guy?
He was on Survivor, right?
He was on Survivor, but it seems like the 18th thing that's mentioned about him in any story, which makes me feel like maybe he didn't make it very far, or he wasn't a big personality or something. I'm not sure.
Right.
Okay. Even with what you've told me, Craig, I still haven't looked up Victoria Fuller's story, right? And I know you have something to say about this. But she does actually seem, maybe she's a great actress, but she does actually seem nervous and scared and, like, kind of like, oh, you know, like, maybe my gold standard of horribleness is Caitlin, of, like, fake acting, fake outrage, fake everything. But this feels a little bit better than her. So
If you make your bed, you have to sleep in it.
I just thought it was super rude that the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, took Peter aside, Chase Rice, took him aside and didn't say anything.
I think Peter pulled Chase aside to say hi. And I don't hold it against Chase that he didn't blurt out, oh, yeah. Okay. The common perception is that Victoria F. and Chase did not date. That the word date is a misrepresentation. It was like
they
a hookup.
Went on a date. Right.
Like one night stand or weekend stand or something like that.
Right, because he didn't care at all.
Yeah. So I don't hold it against Chase that he didn't say anything to Peter. Like, why would you?
I mean, I think she's saying, that's my ex. That's not a hookup.
That's not right. That's the thing, is that we can't believe a word she's saying anymore based on everything that she's done before she came on the show and how she's presenting herself. There's pictures of her on Instagram skydiving. Mm. So how can we believe that she's nervous to go on a roller coaster?
Maybe that's how she knows she hates it. I don't know. I am not trying to defend her, because the more you tell me, the more I am like, look, I'm being duped by this girl. But, I mean, I'm picturing myself in Peter's position at that point. Everyone knows something and no one's telling me. I would feel like, you know, the odd kid out in third grade. Like, I would not, that would make me very upset. He didn't get as upset as I thought. He had no reason to really get upset. But I don't like that no one tells me, right? The producers obviously flew him in. She says something way later but overreacts, you know, times 100. The guy comes up to you and just goes, hey, man, what's up, and doesn't say anything. That would kind of insult me.
Right.
If I was in Peter's shoes. But not, like, what I want to go into kind of is, I have to cut out this. I cut out this quote because I thought it was so, it was such a good quote, reversal of what it usually means. So.
You didn't do anything.
That's what Peter says to her. And that's literally true, but, like, not in a good way.
Yeah.
In a bad way. And he was trying to, like, calm her down and make her feel better. But it's like, she didn't do anything. There's no reason for her to cry and overreact and act the way she does. So maybe that's a good indicator of kind of her manipulative actress type.
Like, how much she was building up. Like, oh, my God, I have to tell Peter and he's going to be so upset with me. And I was like, why would he be upset with you that you, like, have dated other people or, like, slept with other people before you? Like, that's normal, you know? So yeah, I just thought it was really weird how she was like, oh God, he's gonna be, like, so sad for him because he was having such a great time. And it's like, he could still like this guy's music and also know that you've, like, hooked up with him or dated him, and that's fine,
you know? Exactly. Precisely. I couldn't agree more, because, and this references a couple tweets I made last night on our Twitter account at Bachelor Masters, and is reflected in lots of other people live tweeting. What is up with Peter? It's like he's actively, well, how do I put this? He's kind of a bad date with what we've seen. He torpedoes dates. He gets grumpy on dates. And yes, easier. You're totally right. Victoria F. made a big deal out of nothing. But the way he reacted wasn't exactly, he was actually kind of confounded and upset. In the past, if you run into an ex, I don't think I've ever had a problem with that. In fact, I think that's gotten me into trouble. I've been with someone I'm dating, I've ran into an ex or friend of an ex, and I just blow it off. I don't realize that my current girlfriend is uncomfortable. Right?
Well, women get way more, I mean,
yeah.
And that's true of me too. I get way more upset at that than a man would.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That's a gender thing.
But Peter was getting way too worked up. And so I'm starting to see a bigger picture. If any of us were dating him in the real life, we would break up with him after a couple of dates, probably, the way he's acting.
I did not see him overreacting. I see him handling. Okay, well, we'll get to he's handling other things.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. What? But he pulled me aside and oh, my God. And he gets up and walks away, doesn't he?
No, she does. And then he, like, eventually is like, well, I better go talk to her. But I feel like everyone else is kind of the drama queen to him. And then he's kind of like, how do I deal with it? What I would break up with him for, Craig, along the lines of what you're saying, is that he doesn't react well or doesn't know how to react.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, a big problem to me. Whereas if someone was, like, I don't see him overreacting. I see him kind of, like, juggling things wrong, which I want to get to.
Yeah.
But here's where I do see Victoria Fuller being kind of, not sure if it's unhinged, but at least strategic. I brought this up before, that my old way of dating was definitely what Victoria did on this date, where she thinks that a crisis brings you closer together. So if she freaks out, then, you know, oh, look, we got through it together. And so then you're more in love.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Because
no, you can laugh.
Stuff,
I don't care.
You know where we get that? We're sort of the
right,
same generation. Like, we get that from 30-minute sitcoms when we were growing up. Because there was a crisis every episode, and then they resolve it at the end of the 30 minutes.
I thought you were going to say, like, caveman. Like, because we're like, fight or flight.
Like, you know my love for Full House. Full House is what I grew up on, and I worshipped that show, and it totally effed me up in my early relationships, because I was exactly like you, Ezra. I thought crisis, yeah, was what you were supposed to get through to become in love or whatever.
Yeah. So it's a hallmark of immaturity, or it's like a hallmark that you've never actually been in a real relationship when people act like that, right? So it's very, so when I saw her act like that, I thought, is that her avenue to get to somewhere big? Is she overreacting on purpose? Because it isn't that big a deal. When Victoria and Chase Rice, oh my God, I feel like we're giving him, I feel like we're Clevelanding him every time. Like, here's an ad, here's an ad. I have no idea. I did not like that song. I do not want to promote this guy at all. But we're like pulled aside. He was like totally nonchalant. And you're like, yeah, another girl I bang. I'm a huge star in, you know, whatever. And she was like, oh my God, oh my God. So like you said, I think it was somewhere between a hookup and a few dates or a few hookups or something to justify Victoria Fuller, like, being crazy.
The fact that he 100% knew exactly who she was made me be like, oh, it was more than maybe just one night, because presumably he flirts with a lot of women and, you know, hooks up with a lot of women or whatever. But like, the fact that he was like, oh yeah, I 100% remember who you are, and like didn't need his memory jogged or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a person who identifies as male and you're under the age of 18 and you're listening to this podcast, heed my advice. Pick up a guitar, spend the time to learn how to play it, or be good at throwing a football.
Do you know how different the generation under 18 is than we are? Like, yeah, women aren't really blown away by that anymore. And men aren't as competitive with, like, it's a little different. It's very different now. I think that was good advice in the 90s, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, well, I agree. I wouldn't say very different, but I do agree that what's considered sexy, the millennials have changed.
To your point, Craig, though, about Victoria, you can run down your list of why you hate her. And I know, like, you know, medical sales reps, that's her job. That's her job, is to ruin marriages. Like, you know, you're supposed to go into a doctor's office.
Oh, God. Okay, you got to complete this thought.
No. She has the job of being sexy to sell medication that you don't need to a doctor that knows you don't need it to give to other people. Like, that's your job. Don't we all inherently know that that's a bad job, a scam, the pharmaceutical companies making money? We know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And when I saw that was her Chiron medical sales rep, I'm like, oh, all of Craig's hatred for her is falling into place for me now.
Yeah. Well, the female character on Big Bang Theory, she's a male medical sales rep in the latter half of the shows. Yeah. They play up on that to a certain extent. So, like I said earlier, I don't know if I have anything to say that 100% of our listeners don't already know. But I also want to hear what you both have to say about Victoria P., who is a close second in my mind in terms of monsterdom, but for different reasons. And also Des Moines Kelsey. Yeah, because, you know, she's got the duck lips going on too.
I mean, just on what we're watching so far, and I think Victoria P. is my number one disliked, and Victoria F. is coming up on that with what she was kind of blaming Aliyah for, but we'll get to it.
I say one point on the, and I don't know too much about this, but you'd mentioned it in the text, Craig, that there are all these things coming out about how, like, she's ruined all of these marriages, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know the details of any of that, but I do want to say that I find it really problematic when people call women, like, home wreckers or whatever, in the sense of being like, she's not the one who's married. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally a nice thing to do to be like the other woman or whatever, but it's also like, it's more the responsibility of the married partner to not cheat than it is for like an outside partner to be like, I know you have a spouse, let's not do this. If that makes sense. That it annoys me that so often that label is applied to women as like, wow, look at them ruining these marriages. And I'm like, they're not the one who cheated on their spouse. So like, maybe we should be putting the blame more squarely on the person who violated, you know, like the oaths that they made and things like that.
Let me ask you this. So how do I say, with people that are aggressive in their interest in sex and dating. I don't know how else to put it. And there's a certain prowling, you know, you go out looking for it. So do you think, apparently it's come out that she was the cheat-e with three of her friends' husbands. So that's not one, that's not two, it's three. That's a pattern. Mm-hmm. So do you think that that's her thing and she gets off on it? And so she goes out of her way to try to find those situations?
I don't know. I mean, I would say it sounds like she is a terrible friend. But it also, like, yeah, it's really hard to tell what her motivations would be without knowing the full details. Like, it could be that is a thing that she likes to do. She's explicitly, like, you know, this could be like a commitment phobe kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to date people who are available. I'm going to go after people who are not really available.
Or
it could be a thing where it's like, it's just there. They flirt with her and she's like, mine as well, you know?
Right. Or she finds a lot of power and, like, self-esteem right. in getting her friends' husbands to like her. If that is a pattern, if that is a true pattern, like, I don't right. know if it is.
Yeah, and I like that. You know, that happens. It happens all the time. I don't know how close exactly she was with the other two that have gone public.
Okay, on to football. We will get to Victoria P, I think, because there's a whole segment.
Well, Victoria, back to Victoria F quickly. I mean, okay. You know, going back to earlier podcasts, EZR, I mean, you get very angry at people that come on the show for the wrong reasons. The fact that she hooked up with a country music star who happened to be on Survivor, she's now on The Bachelor, she seems like she's cultivating, trying specifically to become famous via these avenues. So doesn't that squarely put her in your negative category?
Yeah. I just haven't had enough time with her to hate her. I don't know. Yeah. Are you trying to push me there?
No, I'm just not common. It's not common for me to suddenly turn on somebody on these shows. So I guess I'm trying to hear from both of you why I'm trying to resolve my feelings. Like, why do I feel so negatively towards her? Like, what's it triggering in me?
Right. Well, I think next, again, because it was a to be continued, I had to, like, watch what they were getting us ready for. And it looks like next week, a lot of this onion will be peeled. So, because it's not as clear cut as they normally try to make it. It feels very manipulative.
Well, it's a total setup of Peter. You're right. Going back to something you said earlier, like bringing Chase in and all that. It's like, what did Peter do to the producers to piss them off so much?
I feel like the producers hate Peter because they keep on doing these things that are like, oh, you know, this is going to be bad for him, or, you know, this is going to, like, be uncomfortable, but yet you will do it anyway, you know? Yeah.
What's your feelings on Peter, Caitlin?
I gotta say, I find him so much less attractive, like we talked about the other week.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, when he was on Hannah's season, I was like, oh, that's a cute guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And then seeing his behavior, I mean, I think a lot of it is, it was Natasha who said in this episode where she was like, does he even know what he wants? And I was like, I don't think he does at all. And it's like, that part is very unattractive to me, to see him just being, like, flailing around, being like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to make decisions about anything. Like, I don't know how to judge anybody. That, and he's constantly, like, every date he goes on, he's like, I could already see us married. Maybe not, though. and okay. I'm just like, you need to, like, I don't know, be a little bit more chill about these things.
Yeah. You know what it probably is? Just because I'm just mapping this onto my backstory, which is, you know, EZR knows this already. I've said it a bunch of times. You know, I got my major being broken up with early on in my life. So that, you know, I was able to get my shields up after that and have a certain amount of emotional intelligence.
So is that true? People put shields? Like, that is true? Yeah. That is not just from The Bachelor?
Well, so I don't think Peter has been broken up with. I think that's the sense that I'm getting now, that hearing you talk about him, Caitlin. It's like he hasn't had that big been broken up with. So he still thinks the world is all roses and dandelions or whatever.
He definitely
I feel like the Hannah Brown stuff definitely hit him, right? Like, he seemed genuinely upset about that. But maybe that is the first time he's, like, been dumped like that, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he watched a lot of Full House growing up.
Right. But then she still came back, so he always gets his way some way or another. Like, he probably feels, you know, it's redemption or something.
I do feel compelled to bring up that the reboot of Full House, which is on Netflix, starring Candace Cameron.
Ugh.
Yes. It's called Fuller House, which is a portmanteau, because not only is it's Full House, but Fuller. But the backstory is that she is now a widow with children, and the husband who died's last name was Fuller. So her last name is Fuller.
Yes.
Just thought I'd point that out.
Oh.
Thanks for bringing up that horrible show.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Now, everybody.
Yes.
Alert. Uh-oh. Chris Harrison was not in Cleveland.
I know.
Despite all their, they can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. They can't go. They can't
walk.
Well,
he probably had a tape. What does he do? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Now or whatever?
That's still on in the afternoon?
I don't know. Maybe. It was.
Well, they can't advertise it to me and then not have the main person there.
Yeah.
I thought that was like, you know, where is he? Maybe he'll appear after the drama, but this is not meant to be.
Well, he did say they were going to travel the world. He's like, we're going to travel the world, mm-hmm. starting with Cleveland. So maybe he's just going to join them in.
Yeah, it's kind of like on The Price is Right when they give you
the location.
Yeah. When they give you the like the showcase showdown, but then the first trips or the first things are bad. So you're like, I'll pass. Give me the car and the trips anywhere else.
Well, he's got to show up next week, right? Because if they're going to have a rose ceremony, he needs to be there for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just taking a few days off.
I don't know if you guys are watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. So we're sort of in peak Jeopardy right now because Alex Trebek he's not doing well. He's got cancer and he's sticking through it. And they did the best of all time primetime show a couple weeks ago, and like the ratings are way up. And well, Wheel of Fortune, I don't Pat Sajak got sick a few weeks ago, and so for the first time ever Vanna White did the hosting,
spoke. Oh
yeah, spoke, right? No, it was kind of uncomfortable, you know. It was kind of, I guess you'd say the word cute is the word that comes to mind, because it was cute that she was like nervous and didn't, you know, it wasn't as smooth as Pat Sajak. But the only reason I bring this up is, you know, it's been almost 30 years. It's bound to happen where, you know, something happens to Chris Harrison that takes him out for a period of time. They're going to have a guest host.
There used to be, I was talking about this the other day, because there was a time when a show lived on its own without the host. Because to be honest, the host doesn't do much. Like, I know in this case, Chris Harrison has kind of been a mentor to some of them, even though he got a divorce. Like, is he a love mentor? So I don't know where the mentorship comes in, except that he's maybe more reliable than the producers who will stab you in the back. Like, okay, you're in a pool full of sharks and you trust the one that can suffocate you and not eat you. Like, I don't understand the thing.
I kind of feel like it was Survivor. Like, Survivor really pushed the idea of like the host being heavily involved. And then also Amazing Race, you know, those shows kind of popped up around the same time as The Bachelor.
Well, how come, like fam? What's that show with the fam? The one where you ask 100 people and then the thing flips over? Like, all those, I'm so used to having a revolving host.
Family Feud?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't matter who's the host. You're right.
It doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter. You just need, like, a robot.
Someone who's funny. Well, they got to be funny.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Quick. Well,
not that funny.
Yeah.
Funny, but not too funny.
Right. So I'm just kind of this whole like hosting, like this whole hosts are now this. And I was saying, like, you know what, to be callous, like not to be callous, but to be callous, if they had just retired a lot of people a long time ago, we wouldn't be in this like, oh my God, this person is going to leave. What's going to happen to this? I mean, it always changes. Mm-hmm. I don't see the need to have this like consistency there, but you know, then they go on to do other things for the most part. So I don't know. I thought that was weird. Mm-hmm. The whole specifically. No, I guess I was thinking about Jeopardy. Okay. Well, anyway,
Where are
football.
We at?
Yeah, football. Well, okay, let's skip. Shianne is right. I love Shianne. I like Tammy. I wish she would choose a better job. And now I like Savannah, and I wish she would choose a better job. Who's Tammy's a house flipper, and Savannah's a realtor. I don't mean better as in make more money, be more successful. I mean, like, more conscious people, because they seem like I like them as people. So I'm like, oh, come on. Why do you have to be a house flipper? Don't do that. Anyway, so I guess we can move on to the Alaya Victoria P.
Sure.
Okay.
I feel like my opinion by the end of this episode is that I would like both of them to go home. In that, so Victoria P is, she's clearly lying, or like lying by omission, or whatever you want to call it, but like that stuff about how she said she barely knew Alaya, but then it was like they'd been on vacation together. And even if she's trying to say the definition of like she's not friends with her because they're not really friends, they're like people who know each other or whatever, that still is different than when she first told Peter that she knew her for like roughly 3 hours or whatever, you know. So she's hiding something with that, and was acting sort of like when Peter was confronting her with the fact that it was like, you told me something different than this, that she basically was just like, how dare you not trust me? Like, we're so close. I opened up to you. And it was like, and he pointed out rightly that it was like, this is different than that. They're like, we're not talking about your feelings for me or like things like that. Like, this conversation is about how like you definitely lied about this one specific thing. And why won't you just like explain that?
Yeah. For sure.
But I'm not like squarely on Alaya's side either, because she seems super fake and really annoying. And so it's like, I think she's telling the truth about her friendship with Victoria P, but she also just is a person, like, I can see why a lot of the women were like, yeah, I don't want that girl in the house, because she seems like she'd be really difficult to be around for long stretches of time.
Okay, well, let me, that last point I kind of want to touch on, but what you said before, I'm like totally agree with that. You know, Victoria kind of pulled a classic Kaylin move, I thought. Sorry to bring her up again. But last week we said that people with family that are abusers tend to become themselves manipulative and abusive. And obviously she still needs a lot of therapy. And if he cut out Victoria P, maybe he'd cut out the real drama. I like that, you know, Savannah, the one who said, no, Victoria does lie, seems to be the only one with nothing to gain from actually saying what happened. So I trust her above, even it, like you said, Kaylin, if you're not going to trust Victoria P or Alaya that much, at least Savannah seems to be the one who's like setting the record straight, which I was really happy about. Like, someone said, no, this is what actually happened. Okay, so let's listen to the audio that actually Kaylin was just talking about.
Together, like,
you did go to Vegas, because she just told me.
Yeah,
you did.
We went to Vegas together and like hung out. I honestly.
Why did you show me that you weren't friends with her then?
Peter, look at me. Look at me. No, like, look at me.
Look at me right now.
Look at me.
I'm baffled.
I'm baffled because you literally, like, you told me something that like I had no reason not to trust, and then she comes here and she tells me all this other stuff.
You can believe that or you can believe me, but I'm telling you that my truth is the truth. And I have been so honest with you and so vulnerable with you and the most difficult parts of you. This is hard.
Every
bit of it.
I'm not
frustrated.
Is that Chase playing in the background?
I'm so confused right now because she comes.
Major Colton flashbacks, except that he catches on that Victoria P is trying to manipulate him through, we shared so much, doesn't that mean anything? And you know, she's trying to talk about her life story, and Peter's like, no, we're talking about how you lied about Alaya. So I'm so glad that at least he stopped her right there from that crying little fit of no, like, trust me. Personally, I liked that he asks Alaya back. I feel like that's very humble thing to do and honest. But at the same time, a lot of the women kind of lost a lot of their like for him, right? They lost
minds. Yeah.
A lot of their, like, well, like Caitlin said, it's just a big turnoff. Like, they don't like that.
Yeah. It's also, it's not the first time they've brought people back, but the way he handled it was, he didn't have to give her the rose. He could have handed the rose to anyone and still brought her back.
I don't know if that's true, because anytime anyone comes back for whatever reason, like, there was a time when someone got sick and then they came back and everyone's like, that's not fair. You can't just get sick. It's totally like, they were really upset. And I think that just comes back to kind of reality TV show culture, that if you leave for whatever reason, you are not allowed back because everyone else has suffered so much. And it's always about the suffering everyone else goes through when you come back that you didn't experience. Mm-hmm. Always. So
they were already upset because they tied the football game too. I mean, they could have let an overtime period happen, but it's almost like they're setting up Peter again.
Yes, it was a setup. Oh, yeah. You're right. I didn't even think of that because...
Like, couldn't they just play one more down? They were scoring touchdowns on literally every play. They could have just had one more play.
It's like arbitrary stop the game. But I don't understand. I guess I've never watched football because I only know baseball. I'm like, well, you play until someone wins. You don't tie a baseball
during the regular season, you can tie in pro, but it very rarely happens. But yeah, they could have... there's just so much. There's so much going on, and I think that's just what they want. They want us confused about Peter. They want us confused about the women. They want us confused why they didn't finish the game. They want us confused as to what level the producers are.
The producers, setting up Peter to have the women annoyed at him in any case, annoyed at each other, I guess, too. That was... that scene where they show like the different locker rooms after the game.
Yeah.
And the team that had just scored was like, we're in the cocktail party now. The other team was depressed.
I thought I didn't understand numbers. I was like, didn't I just see the same exact number on top of each other?
Exactly. I was like, was it 28-28 or 28-0?
Like, wait a minute, does that cancel? Like, how does football work? Like, it made me think that football works in like a -2. I was like, wait a minute.
I did like the woman who said, you're gonna get to talk to Peter first and I'm gonna tackle anyone that thinks differently.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm really glad they're defending her. She's obviously the like one of the most liked women, which is a good sign. Always Shean is a well-liked woman among the women.
And the clear MVP of the football game.
Yeah, because she's, like she said, she's too good, and she probably does have, like, too good of a heart to, and it happened with Kelly, you know, the first week. She wanted to confront her. She's like, you cheated, and she kind of keeps getting put in the same position where she's trying to be fair and honest, and she just loses. So I really feel for Shean, but, okay, here's where I get worried with what you're saying, Craig, about how this is a setup and, you know, what you guys are both saying, that do the producers hate Peter? The same thing happened to Colton at some point where everyone just kind of lost their like of him. And it didn't worry Colton to his benefit, but also to our like, oh, my God, are you such an idiot? In a good way, it worries Peter. He's aware that he's pissing people off.
Totally.
And I give him credit for that. Like, he's not the dumbest guy ever. Like, what a standard, right? So it scares me because it gives me a bad outlook for the rest of the season. Like, if people lose their passion for The Bachelor, what's the rest of the season going to look like? Like, if this was any other date, would they have left? Would they have walked off? Like, if this wasn't filmed, So I don't like that, but then I remember that women, and this is, I mean, so general, of course, but I know I do this, and Kaylin, you can tell me if you have done this ever, tend to fill in what's not so great about a partner in their own minds. Like, if we see bad traits, we'll just go, no, it's a good trait. No, it's fine. Ah. Like, we overcompensate for them. And
I think men do that too.
What you're talking about.
Men do not do that as much. Men do that if the girl is super 100% hot, like flaming, you know, whatever.
Well, that's kind of what I meant,
But they don't do that on average. Okay. And, sorry, I mean, like, you can tell me if this is totally wrong.
No, I think you're right.
You know, and when it did happen on Hannah's season, remember? Everyone was really pissed. She kept Luke P around for so long. And then, and they were pissed at her. And they did the same thing. They kind of were like, you know, it's about time I had a conversation with Hannah. And if they weren't on TV, they might have left too. But they didn't because they were on TV. Like, but they might have been, like, lost interest in her if it was real life. So, anyway, in conclusion, he's not great at unraveling girl drama. But to be really fair, this episode does not do a good job of it either. And 2020, hindsight from us, I think he should have ignored the ones that wanted to talk to him and talk to the ones that were complaining. So it's not as easy as it seems. And I think this episode portrayed it because they try to make it messy for us, which is rare. They normally try to give us, here's who's right, here's who's wrong, or watch this person deceive this other person. And you're like, oh, yeah, Peter, why are you such an idiot? You know, so I think ultimately you guys are right. Like, the producers are really trying to make him mess up, and it's sad.
I also found it interesting that so Victoria P sat out of the football game because of a back problem, but instead of it being like a, you know, she's not participating sort of thing, it was like instead she got one-on-one time with Peter.
Right. Yeah, he was like rubbing her back and stuff.
Yeah, like I was like, wow, I also get why the women are pissed about that, because it's like, not that you should ever injure yourself for a stupid football game, but that, like, instead of doing the stuff with them, it's like, oh, she's giving her a massage and they're, like, cuddling on the sidelines or whatever, instead of her just being like, oh, she's not in this scene.
Do you guys know what back problem she's talking about? As if she's referring to something that we saw happen?
Yeah, we should have known. Yeah, no. I was confused by that whole sequence. On my ride home today on the bus, I was listening to the Rose Pricks podcast, and they were implicating Peter once again because he should know better than to sit on the sideline rubbing her shoulders in front of all of the other women. I mean, it just shows a kind of a lack of awareness. It kind of goes back to what I was saying. Is like, he's a bad date.
Right.
Like, he's never had a woman break up with him and bitch him out and tell him everything that's wrong with him. So he's had to reflect on it.
Yeah.
Well, I think also, like, you see his family, right? Like, you know that his mom has spent his entire life being like, oh, Peter, you're amazing. I love you so much. Like, you can't, there's nothing you could do that would ever be that wrong. You know what I mean? Which is not, like, a bad thing. Obviously, your parents should love you unconditionally, but I think he might be a lot more sheltered than other men of his age are, potentially, too.
Yeah, definitely. No question about
that. It doesn't seem like he's ever been corrected. Like, I know as a parent, not that it matters as a parent, but I mean, I knew when I wasn't a parent, I'm like, I'm always going to correct my kid on this.
Yeah.
And not everyone I know, but people on the internet, because I know a lot of great women who have kids that are male, but the boy mom thing, it's like its own phenomenon. They always they coddle their kids to death, and then, you know, then testosterone really kicks in, and then they're like, my sweet boy, who was this, you know, like, and they don't understand the shift. And that's so and then they still see this, like, 30-year-old rage-aholic as, like, a little 5-year-old. Like, that's the Brock Turners of the world come from. So right. I can't, like, get my mind around all this kinds of, you know, these kinds of coddled men who probably, you know, unless the mom taught them in a loving way how to do certain things but doesn't correct them in other ways, like, maybe he knows how to wash the dishes and keep a clean house, but that's half the story. You know, there's men who don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
Craig, I have one question for you, and I want to bring it up with the whole, now, not just Alaya and Victoria P and their pageant, were they friends, were they not friends, but now Alaya and Victoria F. But if you want to get to Kelsey first, we can go to Kelsey.
No, first. Go ahead. So they're in the hotel room, and Victoria F is confronting Alaya about Halaya, how she had spread around to the rest of the women that Victoria F. had banged Chase, and that upset Victoria F. because it was her story to tell, and that Halaya only knew it because she went home for one day and checked her phone and figured it out and then came back on the show.
Yeah, which anyone would do, right? Like anyone would,
The second I got my hands on the phone, I would turn it on. Everything would ding. You know, I'd get like 1,000 text messages, and then I would spend the rest of the day on my phone.
Yeah, anyone would do that, and anyone who came back into the mansion would be like, "Guess what I found out from the outside world."
Do you think she has more things to tell the other women from the outside world? Or that she's been like holding back.
She knows the future, that Peter will get his face cut. She's like, Peter will soon cut his face.
Well, we see the ambulance in the previews for next week. Maybe it happens then. Do you remember ECR? I think it was maybe the season with Carly or something. Remember somebody sneaked a People magazine to the women?
Yeah, I do kind of remember that. Mm-hmm.
And then there was some dirt on The Bachelor or something. Or one of the contestants, something like that. I can't think of the details, but
yeah, me either. But here's my thing: is that all the women are ganging up on Halaya for maybe they don't like her, maybe they're going with Sydney, which is fine. But I think it's because of the rule of reality: you cannot ever come back if you're cut for whatever reason, even if it's the most unfair reason in the world. Which it was pretty unfair. Like it wasn't the most.
But that's not a rule on The Bachelor, because it happens all the time.
No, it's not necessary. It's a reality TV show rule. If you're cut and you come back, everyone's pissed at
everyone's
you.
Even if the person brings,
There was a good Mark. Okay. So there's a show called The Assistant. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Okay. it was a ridiculous reality show run by Andy Dick. And
it was all absurdist. Yeah, it was like he had him doing all this crazy stuff that had nothing to do with being an assistant to him.
Right. The thing was, you're trying to be his assistant. It's funny because it's supposed to do all these reality TV show things for no reason, just to mess with people, basically. Like, he has them sleep in cots in his garage, and then he like moves some of them up just to create jealousies and all this stuff. But one of the things he did was it's definitely absurdist. Like, it'd be a good show to kind of rewatch, because I think it's always applicable to reality TV. He, for no reason at all, brings back a contestant that he cut on night one, like midway through. And everyone is really pissed. So, yeah, it cross-cuts all reality TV. Even a fake reality TV show. But, okay, so I think they're all mad.
Well, what's kind of fascinating here is the fact that she went home. And we know she actually did go home, because she talks about hanging out with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the producers hadn't set it up for her to come back, right? You know what I mean? Like,
maybe they did. Maybe they set it up so that she could find out stuff and come back. Yeah, I mean, well, isn't that a great fountain of information?
They just like sent her links to like a subreddit on The Bachelor.
We set you up with a email account. Can you read everything in there?
Anonymous.
Well, I guess then it's kind of a mute point. I was just going to say something like, it's like at first they didn't think she was going to come back. But then, at some point someone bought her a overnight ticket to Cleveland when somebody decided it was good to have her come back. Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt that there's definite, like, they know what's going on. They know if you're home for... Remember, we were reading that book. Like, they sometimes give them access to a book or 10 minutes with their phone. All purposeful. Okay. Through everything that I've seen, even with everybody, even last week and this week, Sydney, all the Victorias, Elias still is not, I mean, I don't love her, but she's not as culpable as everyone says. And I want to know, Craig, what the consensus is on Twitter. Because I actually watched this episode this morning, so I haven't even looked online that much. Oh. Does everyone hate Alaya, or are they like turning on the Victorias?
I think people are kind of indifferent around Alaya, and they actually and they support her in the sense that she was kicked off due to misinformation. Twitter circles I hang out with, shout out Martini Shot, shout out Cheyenne, shout out JNLA. We were really focused on Victoria F's horribleness and Victoria P's awfulness. Yeah. So I think the consensus is that Alaya kind of got caught up in the middle and she deserves a chance to come back if she wants to, even though Peter handled her return not greatly.
So you know who seems like a snake in the grass now that we're talking about it is the redhead. Does anyone remember her name?
Oh, Lexi?
Yes. Thank you. Lexi. Every time she speaks. So if you were to watch the episode, whenever she speaks, she's just like the one who like injects the little bit of, yeah, I agree. Like, you know, that's true. Just the tiniest little bit of weight to the arguments of the other side, the Victoria side or whatever. Maybe it hasn't come out yet, but whenever she speaks, that's what it's always about, which you don't expect because I'm like, wait, who? When did you ever, have you ever met Peter yet? Like, I have not seen her interact with Peter at all. I've just seen her interact with the women, and that's what she's always up to. I just like keeping an eye on the outliers that are obviously very influential.
I was thinking that it would be a really brilliant move on the part of the show to have like a fake contestant whose whole job it was to be like, oh, they don't even know Peter. They're just there to like cause drama. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a name for that.
I don't think that's what they're actually doing, but it would be really funny.
A plant?
I think that's called a plant, but I think it's called a rabbit because they put a fake rabbit on the track for dog racing that the dogs chase around the track.
Mm-hmm.
A rabbit is somebody you put into the race in order to push everyone to go faster. That's a metaphor for like putting a plant in a show to push them to be more than they would be on their own. Just some deep Bachelor Masters knowledge there. Well, but isn't that what every contestant is, Caitlin?
Yeah, I guess to a certain extent. I was thinking more like they still have to be concerned, like the contestants now have to be concerned about impressing Peter at least somewhat, right? Like in my like imagining of this fake person, it would be like, oh, he has no decision over whether or not they're staying, so it doesn't matter if he likes this fake planted rabbit.
Right.
I don't need to worry about like looking like they're trying to like fall in love with Peter, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, the leads, whoever they are, Hannah, Colton, say, you're my best friend, you're my confidant. And even Peter saying that with Victoria for no reason that we can see. Like, no reason to really trust her. But well,
Carly, he, like, who implicitly you don't like, trust her. She came right out and said that. She's like, I'm here to make sure he doesn't pick the wrong person or something, remember?
With Chris Soules?
She'd given up that she was going to win. And so she just became like his friend. If I remember correctly.
Well, she was the one who I consider the Kaylin of that season. We have to come up with a better name. Just the
no, I like snake. Kaylin. It's a little too close to our Kaylin.
Yeah.
Co-host Kaylin.
She was this horrible person who I feel like she was just jealous of everyone else. So she was just trying to make sure everyone looked bad because she didn't give Chris Soules great advice either.
Right.
So I agree when it's actually in the interest of the person, not when it's trying to drag people down.
Yeah, she didn't give him good advice like don't drink and drive and kill a farmer. Well, actually, she did give him good advice. If you drink and drive and kill a farmer, wait till the ambulance arrives, but leave before the police arrive.
How do you know who's going to arrive first? You don't.
He did. He just got lucky, I guess.
Yeah, he got lucky.
Got very lucky. Shit.
Okay, good, not guilty.
I did like that scene. Was it Hannah Ann that was like, you don't know anything about me, and it's all because of these two people?
No, it was someone else who was like, you don't even know my middle name.
Sydney?
Maybe it was Sydney. Who cares what your middle name is?
My middle name. Middle names are funny. You know, it's like middle names only come up when you are born and when you die. I'm a firm believer that middle names are totally worthless unless you use it in your name, like Hannah Ann, which is kind of like a Southern thing. But
there's a lot of cultures where you go by your middle name. Mm-hmm. The first name is like a formality,
right?
Like
right.
You know, I mean, maybe in America that's true, but
yeah. No, I definitely, you know, Native American cultures, First Nations, full name is the most appropriate way to get someone's name because they don't follow the first name, last name, middle name protocols. And
I do not have a middle name either. Double barreled last name. And it's my mom and my dad's last names together. And they thought it was like, well, you have two last names. Like, that's enough. If you have a middle name, it's like too much, you know?
Oh, okay. I got a bunch of questions about this.
Yeah. Doodling it at night. Like, I wish.
I was going to say that
doodling
it's because when they wrote your two last names, they had to squish it in and they probably took up the space in the middle.
Oh boy, that is so true. Like my full last name didn't fit on, like when I took the SATs and things like that, like I ran out of the bubbles. And I don't even think it's like that long, but it's just like all of our, so many times I'll get stuff where I'm just like, I think one of my credit cards even is missing the end of my last name. And I was like, I don't know why. The other ones have it, so.
They ran out of space.
They have a set character. Ooh, the one that really annoys me is like when you're filling out something online. The one I remember specifically is like I ordered something from like Target's website and I'll put in my last name and they'll be like, that is an invalid last name because it has a hyphen.
Ah, yes.
And they're like, that's not a character that can be in a name. And I'm like, I find that offensive.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you? It is
somebody
in my
programmed
legal name.
That. Yeah. Fascinating. Do you want to know what my middle name is? Do you guys care? Is that important? Easier, do you know what my middle name is?
No, I don't.
What's Mark's middle name?
Oh, it's Gagan.
Gagan?
Oh.
That's like that was used as his first name for like the beginning of his life.
Huh.
Until
really?
He went to school. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What cultural background is Gagan?
It's actually like Greek or something. So
well, my name about is nothing compared to that. See, so my middle name is Alex, right? Not Alexander, just Alex, which I think is a really cool name.
Hmm.
And I've asked both my parents, you know, when they were alive, and I was like, why did you name me Craig when Alex is such a cool name? And not only that, Alex was like the name of my, you know, great grandfather or something like that. I had all this history. I was like, why don't you just name me Alex? No answer.
But see, you don't have to settle for that. You could say I go by Alex now.
There's been a couple of periods in my life when I could have made the change and I didn't. I should have. I regret that.
So you just understood why people have middle names after all that.
Okay, so what else do we have here?
Kelsey is your last list. I have your...
Yeah. Can you play that Iowa-related drop?
Last winter was so bad in the Midwest.
Are you kind of over it?
Yeah. I mean, I was born and raised in Iowa, so...
So you've never left?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That is so Iowan, I can't even... You know, people that are from Iowa, they... Well, I don't want to generalize. But
go ahead, generalize.
To leave Iowa. I mean, they might vacation or whatever. And their vacation might be to a bowl game in Florida. But, you know, they like Iowa and they stick to it. But and then there's, you know, the people that just desperate to get out, right? So they might go to the university and then it's called the brain drain where young people go to college and then they leave. But it doesn't surprise me that she's complaining about the weather because literally every conversation in Iowa starts and ends with the weather. Because the weather...
Midwestern winter is brutal.
It's the worst. See, people on the East Coast, I don't think even understand the Midwest. Because East Coast has bad weather. It's hot, you know, hot and humid in the summer and cold and snowy in the winter. But it's still manageable. It's fluffy, fun snow. And it's, you know, tank top weather, hot and humid. But in the Midwest, it's absolutely extreme, horrible, both ends of the spectrum. And you get like 2 weeks out of the year that it's pleasant, you know? And so it was kind of an Iowa conversation. I'm glad you pulled it out because I thought it was kind of, anyone listening that's from that area, I think appreciates what she said. I don't think she stands a chance, really. I mean, it's like, this is going to be the last we see of her probably. I mean, she got a rose, obviously, but at some point she'll get cut and we'll never hear from her again.
I did like the conversation about her parents' divorce. the minute she said that they were divorced, I was like, oh my God, how is Peter going to take
it? Like that.
No, but it was interesting to me that she pivoted to like, but I do know examples of a marriage that worked because my grandparents are still together, and he's probably like, oh, thank God, you know.
My other grandparents are divorced, but
but yeah, the way he reacted to it, like, my God. And it was just like, yeah, it sucks that like her dad basically abandoned their family. Yeah, is what it sounds like, right?
You're reminding me. It was, yeah, he left a note.
Yeah, and like, oh, just vanished God, for over a decade. Like, wow.
Asshole.
Yeah, but also like the way that Peter was like, my God, and I was just like, you know, this happens to a lot of people, Peter, and they turn out okay.
Like, yeah. The whole, like, what you're saying is, what bothered me was that she was crying at the divorce part, and, like, I found out before my mom, but not at, like, she was, yes. I didn't feel like she was crying at the fact that her dad left her for 12 years, like, I would be, that's the part where it feels impactful, because otherwise it's the same old divorce story, otherwise I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay, so you saw him on weekends, big, like, you know, people need to divorce sometimes, but when, that
yeah, it
rough.
Was odd that like the weight was put on, like, oh God, they divorced and I knew before my mom did. And it was like, oh, and then he vanished for 12 years. And it was like, yeah, I think the weight should be like the other way around. You're like, oh yeah, I didn't have a relationship with my dad because he vanished.
Wow. Did she say what was in the letter? Like, what was it? Did it give any sort of reason?
It was, like a, it was a Dear John letter is what she meant, right?
He left the, like, the wedding ring. She mentioned he left the wedding ring with the letter. Yeah, and then he moved to Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Was he like running from the law?
I mean, and then he started a family there.
Gambling debt.
Which? Yes. Yeah. He has like a second family happening now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude. So maybe he cheated on her and had his family, you know, and just moved. I don't know. I don't.
Men are weird sometimes.
Yeah. The quick snap decision of like never seeing. Having a, I think the weirder part is that you are an Iowa family man, obviously having this like Iowan life with, you know, America family, and then you go to Mexico,
right?
Like, that to me seems very stark, and not in a racial or like down way, mm-hmm. but in a very like separate lives, what's happening, and then he disappears from his family, which obviously is not,
yeah, like, yeah, that, not to not see
who's
your
his,
yeah.
Who's
grow
his dad
up and, yeah,
yeah.
Really messed up.
Yeah. Ugh. This is like the thing I thought about with so my parents are divorced and my dad has been in a relationship. I was like, it's weird, she's not like, they're not married, so I'm like, she's not my stepmom, but they've been together for like 12-13 years. It's been like a while. And there was a period of time where my dad's girlfriend would get really mad when my dad spent time with my mom. And I was kind of like, well, you do have to realize, like, in most situations, even if you're not together, if you have a kid with somebody, like, you're going to be talking to them for the rest of your life, probably, right? Yeah. Unless you're a total shitheel, like Kelsey's dad.
Yeah, totally. And that's a big part of dating when you're older, you know, late 30s, early 40s, 45, is that the people, you know, you match with on Tinder or whatever and you go on a date with them. Chances are they're going to have kids from a previous relationship, and both sides, you know, so or mm-hmm. not, but like both people. So it's just, I think it's just something you've got to get over, because that's
assume that you want them to have a good relationship, like with their children, and fundamentally that usually means talking to their ex-partner in some way, right?
Yeah. Is that cooled down in the 13 years?
It's calmer, but it's still like they like, it's like my stepmom and my mom will never like each other. It's just not gonna happen. But it's not quite as like contentious as it used to be.
All right. Well, on that positive note, we are running up on time here.
Yeah. Well, the good news is next week is week 5. Followed by week 6, my two favorite weeks.
Ooh.
In terms of the, I mean, this whole thing we were saying about how Peter might, you know, the women might be losing interest in him is important. But I, like we've talked about before, Craig, these weeks are crucial in terms of, well, I don't want to say crucial, but they are a great time in any dater's life. They're the time when, or a Bachelor fan, because it's a time when we finally know everyone's name that's left behind, right?
Speak for yourself.
I tend to know most people's names, at least, or at least I recognize their faces. I'm like, okay, I've seen her. And more importantly, they get to this kind of sexual tension that if it's there, it's there. So it's worth noting. It's a great week to really not have any distractions when you're watching, because you have to notice all the little back and forths that could be happening, like, you know, the makeouts and everything.
Yeah. All right, quickly, let's hit the fashion roundup.
Wait, I wasn't ready. I exited out of everything. Sorry.
How long have we been doing this, EZR? You never know when we're going to need a drop.
Run. Okay.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
That's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
I love co-host Chris. Truly.
Yeah, we all do. Even Caitlin.
It's like, I don't really know him, but
just like the Bachelorettes and the Bachelor. All right, what do you got, Caitlin?
I was gonna say, I did notice Hannah Ann's bustier number at the cocktail party. She was wearing, like, I think black pants and then this like bustier top that had a little peplum kind of thing going on, so it jutted out, but it was also bejeweled.
Yeah.
And it felt like a lot to me. Like, I was like, this is a choice. And towards the end of that, when she was talking to after Alea came back and she was talking to the women, and they show Hannah Ann talking to her, and she's wearing some kind of like little jacket on top of it, but the bustier is so like layered with jewels and it juts out so much that you can see like the jacket can't fit over it in the back. And I was just like, I don't like that look. I do not like that.
Okay. Interesting. Her sort of blonde doppelganger from Canada.
McKenna.
My Kenna. Yeah. I still, there's something about her, the looks she gives and, but she wasn't she wearing a white jacket?
She was wearing a gigantic like 90s brooch thing. Not a brooch, but one of these clips that you can like clip into place.
Yeah,
but
it was the size of
a slug. Yeah, it was humongous.
It was like a pearl hair clip.
Really? No, but it was one of those ones, you know, the ones you snap in that people used to wear in the 90s?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those are apparently like, I've seen them at like H&M and places like that. So that's like a thing that I guess is, I don't love them personally because they look like the pearl stuff just looks like it's plastic, which it is.
Right.
And I don't love those like gigantic clips either. The snappy ones where like you put it in and you snap it into place, or, I mean, they have utility, I guess, but.
Right.
But this is a fashion statement.
Yeah. And it's so not ugly. Like to keep her hair back. It's to. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like her style, given that she's a fashion blogger. I mean, I guess she is like trendy, right? In certain ways, like these are trends. But
this is not how I expected this conversation to go.
I'm always like, her outfits are just like, oh, I don't like that. Like, she was wearing a strapless like gold sequin thing at one point, and I was just like, this is boring. You should be better at fashion. You're a fashion blogger.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
fair enough.
Totally agree.
I do have a love for white jackets, though. The coolest jacket I think I ever owned was, I had a linen white sports coat. It was so cool. And I used to wear like a baby blue V-neck under it. So I looked like Miami Vice. It was so cool. If I can, I'll find the photo and I'll post it on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay.
Pantsuit
roundup? Any pantsuits?
Well, not a pantsuit, but a pant combo thing that I sent you guys that I didn't know I hated until I kept seeing a still of it. Because it was the picture of the week show, you know, how they put like one still as this is what's basically going to happen this weekend. They showed a picture of all of them in the football gear. Uh-huh. But Victoria P wasn't in it because she wasn't playing. But she was wearing this ugly maroon tie-dyed like workout outfit. And it was tie-dyed down the legs.
This is the purple outfit she was wearing.
I mean, it was purplish, yeah, but it made her look all lumpy and like it looked halfway between like a something she found in the trash and something that was badly tie-dyed. Like it was not. And yeah. I don't like to be fair, I don't like any of the fashion, but then there's some that really stands out to me as ugly. Just like Caitlin saying, like, oh, you know, it's all you know, it's supposed to be this fashion-y, trendy stuff, but this was exceptionally ugly and it made her look bad to me. Anyway, I thought you would have something more to say about it because it made her look all.
Well, at first I was kind of indifferent, but now that you describe it that way, I'm on Team EZR on this one.
Okay.
All right. I think we're done. Any final thoughts?
Victoria's hair. Victoria P's hair. That's all.
Oh boy.
She keeps flattening it and not doing the now thing. It makes her look very outdated.
She can't do anything right.
Wait. No, she can't. She's horrible at all of this. She needs to go home and get into therapy now.
Oh my
it's obviously
gosh.
All that's the root right there.
Oh my god.
She's at the therapist's office being like, I can't get any volume at the root in my hair. Why?
Okay. All right. That was fun. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Bachelor Masters, Facebook, and leave a review on the Apple Podcast app if you feel inspired. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.